right, you can, Eden, pay attention. We'll go through this, and I want to show you. We're going to follow your notes. So again, if you want to just pay attention up here, or you can follow along in your notes if you want to. Everything that's going to be in here is in detail in your notes. So it's up to you as to what, how you want to handle it tonight. Let me announce to you that I said you were going to have a final exam next week on Jehovah's Witnesses. We're going to postpone it another week because Brad White is going to come in and give his whole presentation. He's been doing some extensive research on Mormonism. He has a lot of material, and so I said, you know, Brad, this is your opportunity to take what you know and present it to my class. And so he's got a video he wants to show and do it. And so I want to give him the entire 2 hours. So instead of having to, so next week I'll give you a review of Jehovah's Witnesses, what it's going to be on your exam, and then you can, we'll have that right away, and then we'll finish up on whatever's left, if we have anything left on Mormonism, okay? All right, let's see if I can... All right, let's look a little bit about what's going on with the Mormons, all right? The history of the Mormon Church is really extensive. It goes back in the 1800s. The founder of the Mormon Church was a young man named Joseph Smith, Jr. And there's a lot of things that Joseph Smith was involved in. He was born in December 23, 1805 in Sharon, Vermont. In 1816, his family moved and settled in Palmyra, New York. And there's a lot of history in Palmyra, New York about the Mormons. Okay? And every year they have the Hill Cumorah pageant, where they put on this huge drama of what happened with Joseph Smith, and they explain the whole story of how the Mormons came to be in pageantry and drama. And you'd be safe to go there. You know, they really don't try to proselytize. But if you wanted to, Brad will explain to you what he does when he goes there. So it may be something you might want to do to join him in passing out tracts and giving the gospel. And so it's exciting. So I'm going to help yourself with something to eat before you sit down if you want to. Okay? So I had everybody get sandwiches and stuff. So there goes the food. Okay? So his father was a treasure digger and counterfeiter by trade. Nice dad, huh? You know? Nice example. He used divining rods and peep stones, whatever they are, to find treasure. You know what a divining rod is, right? That's how they use sometimes to find water. And if you don't know, it does work. Okay? It isn't a myth. It does work.
My dad found water in this place in Texas.
Yep. They use that a lot of times to find wells and find water for farms and stuff like that. So it does have, there's something about the way the stick is drawn to the water.
It's a willow tree.
Right. The willow branches keep water. So it is, it's not something mystical. It's not something, you know, witchcraft. It's, people turn it into that, but it really does work, okay? His mother was a fortune teller, a mystic, okay? So his family's a little whack, all right? Family was a Presbyterian, but Joseph was undecided of what he wanted to do because of some of the problems in the Presbyterian church and with formal religion. So in the spring of 1820, he reads James chapter 1, verse 5, retired to the woods and prayed, and he had, of all things, a vision, okay? And in this vision, God the Father and Jesus Christ appeared. The Father told Smith that all religious sects were wrong and were an abomination in his sight, and that all members were corrupt and hypocritical. They told Smith that they would start Christianity over again with him. He's the only one they're going to choose, okay? Warning, 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 Will Robinson. Why is it a warning, class? Why is it a warning?
One person.
Whenever you hear that, run. You know, God told me specifically, no one else. Okay, that's the classic of every major cult. Exclusive revelation, okay? All right? So then what you have here is that we continue to this. On September 21st, 1823, Smith had another vision. You know, this guy, he either ate a lot of things before he went to bed or was on drugs or something. Okay, he's having a lot of these. The angel Moroni, who, by the way, was full of Walnut, okay? Compared to this bedside, okay? Listen, if you wake up and some angel standing named Moroni, throw something at it. We have to plead the blood or something, all right? And Moroni was the glorified one of Mormon, who had engraved a book of golden tablets in the late 4th century A.D. These plates explain the history of the gospel in America. The plates were deposited in the Hill Cumorah near Palmyra, New York, in 421 A.D. That's what he was told. Moroni told him how they never got discovered before, that I'll never know, okay? Moroni told Smith that God had a work for him to do and that his name should be had for good and evil among all nations, kindreds, and tongues. He also told him that these plates would be given to him at a later time, okay? As soon as he could find them and dig them up and put them in the ground so he could find them later. Moroni told him that there were two stones fastened to a breastplate. These were called Urim and Thummim. Thummim, okay? What do these resemble in the Bible? Breastplate that had stones in it. The ephod, okay, in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, the priest would wear a 12-stone breastplate, and it was somehow a way that God communicated to the priest and to Israel through those. So again, it's a copycat, okay? It's taking what God has said and twisting it to your own devices. These were fastened together with silver bows to make them look like a pair of spectacles. Lenscrafters has these too, okay? No. These would be used to translate the golden plates. So the Urim and Thummim were going to be used to put them on, and magically you could see what the golden plates had. The angel showed him where these Urim and Thummim were and where they were buried, and where, and also where the plates were buried. Okay? As we continue, this gets better. The next day, September 22, 1923, Joseph dug up the book of golden plates, which were found in a stone base with the Urim and Thummim and the breastplate. He was not permitted to take these this time, but was to come back on the same day for the next several years until Moroni said it was time. Smith came every year on September 22nd and dug up the box to see these things. Okay, January 18, 1827, he eloped with Elma Hale from Harmony, Pennsylvania, because her father refused to give consent that they could be married. The reason was that Smith's only occupation was that of digging for money using peepstones. Okay. How'd you like your daughter marry a guy like that, you know? Keepers, creepers. Where'd you get those feet? No, okay. On September 22nd, 1827, Moroni told Smith that it was time to take the book of golden plates and translate them. Smith took Urim and Thummim and began to copy the characters off the plates and begin to translate them. Notice there's no one else around. He's doing it all by himself. There's no one he shares this with yet. Okay? Well, again, Mr. Martin Harris, a New York farmer, befriended Smith and planned to finance the publication of what would be later on the Book of Mormon, which would be the translation of these plates. Okay? Harris wanted assurance that the plates were genuine and that the translation was correct on them. So what Smith told Harris that the characters were not Hebrew, but they were Reformed Egyptian. And so what you find here is that Harris took a copy of the characters to Professor Charles Anton in New York City. He identifies them as Egyptian, Chaldaic, Assyric, and Arabic, and affirmed the translation as correct. I wonder how much he was paid. Okay? Note, scholars insist that the combined Arabic scripture and Egyptian characters will result in a linguist monstrosity. In reality, Reformed Egyptian is a non-existent language. Later, Professor Anton would admit that Smith's claim to the language of the plates being a form of Egyptian was false. He talked him into giving it credibility when it had no credibility at all. Okay? In April 1829, a former school teacher, Oliver Cowardy, joined Smith in the venture. Mr. Harris mortgaged his farm and paid $3,000 to Smith to help publish 5,000 copies of the Book of Mormon. Smith commenced to complete the book, dictating it to Oliver Cowdery, who was the school teacher. Yes, exactly. Okay. Then what we find on May 15, 1829, Smith and Cowdery went into the woods to pray. Suddenly, John the Baptist appeared to them and confirmed to them the Aaronic Jewish, and later Peter, James, and John came to them and confirmed the Melchizedek priesthood on them. Then they baptized each other. Okay? So now one's they have the Aaronic, and then later on they have the Melchizedek, the eternal priesthood on them, and they baptized each other. You know, for whatever what reason, I don't know. Okay. Smith was shown by divine revelation that the three other witnesses were needed to testify to the existence of the golden plates. These were Cowdery, Harris, and David Whitmore. As these men were in prayer, the angel Moroni revealed the plates to these men in the woods. Something's going on in the woods, folks, okay?
Mushrooms.
Wild mushrooms. Okay? Don't eat. Moroni will show up to you. Moroni. On March 26, 1830, the first Book of Mormon was placed on sale in a bookstore in Palmyra, New York. So we have a lot of history here in the Mormon Church in Rochester. The Book of Mormon was copyrighted in 1830. Okay, so you can't copy it, okay? Who'd want to? On April 6, 1830, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was founded with six people in Fayette, New York. Anybody know where Fayette is? It's out by Syracuse, I believe. Auburn, around that area. Okay. All right. Within 1 month, the number grew to 40. Okay. In 1831, the church moved to Kirtland, Ohio, because the Book of Mormon contained the story of the ancestry of the American Indians. Because of this, a number of Indians were won to Mormonism. Okay. Also, over 100 Campbellites, Church of Christ, water dogs, as some southern people call them because they believe in baptismal regeneration, were converted over to Mormonism. Must not have known their Bible very good, okay? In 6 years, the church grew to 1,600 people in 6 years. Smith received a revelation telling him that Jackson County, Missouri, was the city of Zion. This was also believed to be the Garden of Eden. I've been there. It's not the Garden of Eden. This would be the place where Jesus Christ would return to the earth. He purchased 63 acres of holy ground for the Temple of Zion. And quite a temple it is, by the way. Okay? Pretty ornate. Nothing like the one in Washington, D.C., though. Okay? Mormons began to move to Independence, Missouri, but the local people were not happy with this move. Mobs began to be formed, and Joseph Smith was tarred and feathered and dragged throughout the town. Right? Because of what he believed. And one of the things he believed started to be polygamism. Okay? He was a polygamist. They moved to far west Missouri and ran into further conflict with the local people. The militia intervened, and Smith and others were imprisoned. Later, the government banned them from the state of Missouri. And they were in a state of misery. Okay. All right. In 1836, Smith began to produce counterfeit money. Nice guy, huh? Nice religious leader. Okay. Between 1831 and 1844, Smith claimed to receive 135 direct revelations from God. I'll bet he did. Okay. In 1839, Smith chose a site on the Mississippi River above Quincy as their new home. He called it Nauvoo, Illinois, Hebrew for a beautiful place. Okay? And then what happened was he organized the Nauvoo Legion, a small standing army with himself as lieutenant general. He also announced his candidacy for president of the United States. Praise God. It would have been worse than what's going on now. Okay? He also sent Brigham Young, a man that he met, to England to be a missionary. And 8,000 people were baptized in Mormonism in England. Alright, it was here at Nauvoo that Smith began to baptize for the dead, to release them from torment. He also began his practice of polygamy. He had 48 wives. Fool.
That's a good way to get killed.
Exactly, man. By your own wife. I need one of them. You know, it's interesting. The baptism for the dead, if you've ever witnessed that or seen that, the Mormons will take obituaries from all around the country and gather it in the temple in Salt Lake City. And the people will take papers from all over the country and cut out names of the dead. And they will come in and they will take a name and they will go in and get baptized for the dead. Okay? Because they think they can help the dead get out of the first stage of heaven into the next, which is the non-believing stage, into the semi-believing stage. Okay? You'll see that as we go on here. So they practice baptism for the dead. You see that in the Bible, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's not just a novel practice in the Mormons. Way back in the Old Testament, they believed in baptism for the dead. Part of the heathen idolatry worship was baptizing for the dead. So again, he incorporated, taking a little piece of the Bible here, a little piece of the Bible here, reads Tanner baptism for the dead, begins to talk about what it means to release them from the punishment of not being a believer. Okay. In 1842, trouble began for Smith when the Nauvoo Expositor, an anti-Mormon paper, contained an article by John C. Bennett exposing the practice of polygamy within the Mormon Church. Okay? Smith ordered his men to destroy the Expositor's presses and to burn every copy of the paper. So they have a militia now. They go in, they destroy the presses and burn every copy of the paper because now it's getting really antagonistic and militant. Okay? Smith was arrested with his brother Hiram and taken to jail. And in June 27, 1844, 200 people attacked the jail and hung Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram in jail. Okay? Smith then became the martyred hero of all the Mormons everywhere. Because now they memorialized him because of his becoming a martyr, and now he is the man, and they talk about him everywhere and anyhow and everywhere. Okay, so Joseph Smith, he's the guy that started. Any questions or any comments that you have, or something you know about Joseph Smith, or something that you have? Yes, go ahead, John.
Did Joseph Smith come back from the dead?
No, he hasn't come back. But they may have baptized. They didn't have to baptize because he's in the top heaven because of being martyred. Okay, so he didn't have to get baptized for that. Nor did he come back from the dead. No. Someone else? Any other questions? Any other comments about Joseph Smith? Something you know about?
Around anymore,
no, they've conveniently been lost. I don't know. They may be under the hill of Cumorah someplace. David.
Is there,
with
that number of wives, is there a head count for children?
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah, I don't know how many, but there's a lot. Okay. You can start your own religion that way. Some Baptists are trying right now, too. Okay, the nurseries are expanding and growing, all right? But again, no, I don't know how many children they had, but I'm sure quite a few. Okay, yes, Michelle?
Did anybody try and replicate those sites, or did they amount to anything?
No one found them. They can't find them. Only those three saw them. Yep. And so the plates are replicated in the Book of Mormon. Okay? And that's the Book of Mormon. So that's how these are. Those plates must have been really heavy to be able to produce all of this, okay?
Or to
have the revelation from God, okay? Someone else. Something else. Yes, Mom.
How did he drum up support? Because like the farmer was financing him when he was only 24. I find it surprising that he was getting published and that people were buying into this when he was so young and had like no viable occupation or anything. It's just very interesting because he was dead by 40. So he did a heck of a lot in that short little life.
He was in the back room printing it, counterfeiting his money. That's how he funded it, a lot of it. Okay. Yes, he got support from people. And along the way, they teach tithes and stuff like that. But yeah, probably a lot of it he produced himself. He printed it. Funny money. Okay. Somewhat like the government's doing today. We just keep having loans and loans, and we print more and more funny money. Okay, so that's probably how he supported it.
He must have been very charismatic. I mean,
yeah.
to make these people follow him like
Yep. And again, that's one of the big things too. You have a charismatic leadership that, you know, is gung ho and very dynamic as speaker and very aggressive. And everybody just goes, wow, he must know what he's doing. And they just follow him. Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right. So what else?
Obama.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, Sean.
How did that religion not collapse when he started saying that the Garden of Eden was in the dirt?
But what he did is he spiritualized it, you know, and they really meant, you know, this, the Mississippi River or whatever the case may be, or Missouri River, okay. I've seen the Missouri River, it isn't the Garden of Eden, okay. And again, people just become like sheep. They get sucked in. This guy is talking to God. Remember, you didn't have television back then. Okay? You didn't have radio back then. So you had a lot of people that didn't have a lot to do and were very interested in following or learning some things about God. And so they bought into this very easily without being deceived. And even today with television, people are deceived. They believe whatever they read or without any question. They really think it's the truth, and it isn't. So people, you know, what did P.T. Barnum say? There's a sucker born every minute, okay? And that's true. So they just, and again, you have the same thing today. I know a church in Missouri, in Springfield, Missouri, Baptist Church, whose pastor decided it was God's will for him to move the whole church to one of the New England states. He talked his whole congregation of 4,000 people to move to Pennsylvania, Vermont, something like that. The whole thing collapsed within 4 years. Died. But the majority of his people, 80% of his people, sold everything they had and moved to start this church, and because he really believed that God had told him what to do. You know? So again, you have to be careful, and you have to know that that's of God, and I had a friend of mine who, one of the guys in this church, went off the deep end and started teaching some false doctrine. And a friend of mine that I ended up discipling before he was strong in the Lord, he would sit there and that guy would tell everybody in his church to sell, to take their credit cards and run them up to the max, and then take the money and give them to the church so they could build a new church. And to sell all their property, that they shouldn't have a better property than the church should have. And so they needed to sell their property and downsize and be able to give money to this church to build a new church building. And praise the Lord, many of the people left after that and didn't do what he had asked, including the Ford family. But the bottom line is that it was pretty scary because they were beginning to think that God was really talking to him, and that's what God was telling them to do. Can you imagine? You're going to run your credit card up to the max and give the money to the church and take out loans to give the church, you know? And again, that's something that if you feel the Lord leading you to do that, you can do that, but no one's making you. There isn't pastor isn't telling you to do that. It's up to you what you want to do between you and God. But this guy, he would, when the babies would cry in the church, he said the demons are attacking the babies, and so he wouldn't allow any babies anywhere near the sanctuary or anywhere. And if a mother had a baby crying, he would rebuke the mother and the baby in the name of Jesus in the middle of the service. And people just bought into that. It's like, it's crazy. 100 people bought into that until it finally collapsed. It was a meeting in English Village. And they finally collapsed the thing, and it was done, and he moved, and, you know, eventually he went bankrupt and lost everything, including his family. But again, it's just, people just get sucked in because they don't know their what?
Bible.
They don't know their Bible. And that's the bottom line, class. They don't know the scriptures. They don't know what the Bible teaches. And so therefore they get sucked in pretty good. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
The 200 people that attacked, were they Christian?
Probably not. They were probably part of that anti-Mormon. They were probably workers in the press that were, the building was burned down. They lost their jobs. And now the people realized what was going on. So they formed a mob and went after them, they believed that they were, attacking the village or the town, so they went after him. Pretty tragic way to die, in jail, But yet, that's what they've got. They reap what they sow. Okay? Good.
Is there a book where I can refer people to some of these facts?
There's a ton of books, okay? And I'll probably give them to you in the last page of your notes. Okay, I'm still putting together a bunch of stuff, but there's one of the greatest expositions about the Mormons was put out by a family by the last name of Tanner. This was years ago, okay? They left the Mormon church and they started all kinds of literature to expose them. And they are revered as the credible people to expose the Mormons and what was going on. It really hurt the Mormons. They lost a lot of Mormons. By the way, Mormon membership is really declining, okay, more and more because of the exposure of what their practices are and what goes on. And it's really gone down in the last several years. So, but that Sandra Tanner is her name. And I can't remember what his name is. Okay? Sherman?
Yeah, one thing that is helping her, I think, is there's guys out there exposing him all the time. But you can look in your Bible and look at the maps and see all those cities, and they're still there today. You look in the Book of Mormon, and they have all these cities, and there's no existence
right.
at all.
None.
No evidence of anything that Joseph Smith has said or Brigham Young or any of those guys.
Yep. No archaeological proof of any of the tribes that they talk about, the Indian tribes that existed back then, nothing. Okay, and again, just recently they had another big major scientific exposure that all this was false and it was all made up. There was no evidence at all.
If there's supposed to be some huge war in Palmyra on the Hillmore, Hill or whatever it is, there's not a body.
Right. They haven't found any bodies, any graves, no weapons, no nothing. There was supposed to be some huge battle on Hill Cumorah.
Two building sites, the first battle, and 200,000 men plus women and children, the second battle.
So you're talking quite a number. You can't find one bone or one body or one grave site for those
things. No swords, no stone, no money, no nothing.
Yeah. God took them up. The angel Moroni came back and cradled them and took them away. Okay. Yeah.
Probably back in the 90s, moved a gentleman that was working with Ally. He was actually going to the Mormon church, and I don't know what they would call him, but he was with the pastor or what's up. And getting in late 90s and moving him, and I asked him a bunch of stuff about him. It was like way out there. It was thinking to myself, man, this ain't right. But
some of them, as you talk to them, they know the history. Some don't know the history, and they make it up as you talk to them.
They came from like Utah or what's out there and came in and moved him in and had his whole barn and a whole bunch of stuff and just by himself. And I'd say probably a quarter of the truck was just a whole bunch of rice and dry stuff and just what they had, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, I heard if you ask too many questions, they want to communicate to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're brainwashed from the beginning. If you're not part of the church, you can't go to heaven.
Right. Right.
So, and that's what happens when they get higher rank with their secret rituals and so forth.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You can't ask questions. It's all secret. Okay? Yep.
Did the word moron originate from the angel Moron?
I don't know. In my vocabulary.
We can start something. Start rumors.
I'm just wondering.
Moroni and his brother Moroni. They were the start of the Three Stooges. or Abbott and Costello. I don't know. Again, Smith really had to have quite a vivid imagination to come up with all this stuff and to fabricate the stories and keep them straight as to what was going on. Someone?
The website, What Mormons Don't Tell, that kind of is a great resource.
Yes.
For people to go to.
Yep. XMormon.com is another one. XMormon.com is another good one. They changed a couple of the websites that I made reference to in your notes. I was checking today. Some of them have the websites for sale. Or if you put XMormons.com, there, it doesn't exist. So it has to be XMormon, okay, singular. And a lot of the things, CARM, just write this down. I can't remember all the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, CARM, is a very decent resource. Okay, CARM. Okay? I think that's how it is, www.carm.org. Okay? Or you can Google, Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. They're an excellent resource also. A lot of these things have changed. a lot of stuff. I got some great material the last time I taught this 4 years ago. Now you can't find it out there at all. So you wonder, okay, what happened there? You know, they got sued or whatever the case may be by some of these cults and stuff like that.
The Mormon Church is very rich.
Yes.
They control.
Yes. If you ever want to know, they have the largest data bank of family trees known to mankind. Okay? In huge storage and huge facilities in Salt Lake City that even the government has, you know, patterned some of the things they do. They rely on some of the Mormon family trees and their computer databases for history of mankind. So if you ever want to know your family tree and you don't know how far it goes back or where it goes, if you contact the Mormon Church, if you want to, I wouldn't want to, but if you really want to know, it will go a long way and go back a long way to find your ancestry and where it goes. Very detailed. Okay? Go ahead.
3 years ago, I was doing drywall for 200 apartment or room motel right a half a mile from the Camorra in Palmyra, and that's why they were building it. They pushed us to get it done before the pageant started because people come from Utah. They didn't have motels close by, and they didn't want to travel from Rochester to Palmyra, so they built 200 room motel right in the town there.
In case you didn't know it, Marriott Corporation is very big Mormons. Okay, the whole thing is funded by Mormons. Okay, so all the Marriott's organization is Mormon backed, and so just so you understand, Alex.
Yeah, along those lines, if you look at a Marriott, there would be the Bible there with the Gideon, and
yeah, it'll be a King James Gideon Bible too. Okay, because they push the King James, but there'll be a Book of Mormon in the drawer too. And so you can take it and feel free to take it and have it for your library. They'll replenish it again so that you're not stealing it. So they put it there for your taking if you want to. So if you ever get a chance to stay at the Marriott, okay, get yourself a Book of Mormon, okay? All right, and then you'll have it, so you have it as proof to show some of the fallacies of that.
There's one more quick thing. When I was teaching in Colorado at our high school, every day, they'd have a Mormon school, and the Mormon kids from the high school would be sitting in there at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, to get a high school kid out that early is not easy.
Yeah.
Right. And they're sitting in class, going through their class, and then they go out throughout the whole school day, and they're meeting in a nice classroom. They got all the stuff, and then the Christian kids were sitting in the gym on the floor, and it was interesting. They got a whole locker and their Books of Mormon. But they were King James versions that were attached to the Books of Mormon, so they were like,
wow.
That's it.
Like they,
that's what they would carry around. And you'd ask them, you know, stuff as a kid and push the kids a little bit. And, oh, we believe everything that the Bible teaches. And, you know, they're just totally misled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Completely misled.
I think also, to be honest with you, I think it's Pepsi is Mormon owned too. Coca-Cola. So I think, at least it used to be, they may have dropped it, but I really believe that that's also part of it too. Okay, they don't drink Coke. I know that much.
Well, they don't drink any.
They don't drink any soda, but they own.
Yeah, they
don't
have
caffeine. Right, they own.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. There you go. I got to quit calling it Baptist beer now. It's Mormon beer. Okay, let's go ahead and see, and then we'll take a break. Okay, let me talk about Brigham Young. Okay. Brigham Young, 1801, he was born, died in 1877. He's the successor of Joseph Smith. They brought him back from England. He was elected December 25th, 1844, to be the president of the Mormons. State of Illinois notified the Mormons that they had to leave Nauvoo. Wonder why. It caused quite a stir there. Okay. He began a plan to move them west. Okay. Young only had 11 days of formal schooling in his whole life. Okay, that's it. All right. So you can accomplish things with no schooling. Claimed to have 25 wives. Okay. In February 1846, the journey west began with 400 wagons. They experienced severe cold, exposure, storms, Indians, quarrels, and inadequate food and clothing as they were going across the west. They ended up in July 24th, 1847, the wagons arrived at Salt Lake City, Utah. Okay? From 1846 to 1851, 30,000 Mormons arrived at Salt Lake City. Okay? All right? And Mormons believed God had chosen this for them because the first crops were saved from locusts by a flight of seagulls. Okay? Seagulls came in and stopped the locusts and ate them before they destroyed all their crops. So they believed it was a miracle, that God was just vindicating that this move was exactly what he wanted them to do. Okay? Brigham Young was a ruthless character who gave the Mormons momentum to establish a bona fide religion. In 1851, President Milford Fillmore appoints Young to be a governor of the Utah Territory. Okay? Young helped, might as well, man, half the population of the state now is, you know, Mormons, and so you'd be a fool not to pick the leader to, of the Mormon church to be the governor. Young helped finance immigration from foreign countries so that the Mormons could get to Salt Lake. Young ordered the massacre, and this is very quiet. You don't know, you have a lot of people that will even talk about this in the Mormon church, okay? He ordered the massacre of 150 non-Mormon immigrants. It was called the Mountain Meadows Massacre, three M's, Mountain Meadows Massacre, who entered the Salt Lake Valley. Bishop John D. Lee was convicted of the crime and executed by the federal government. Lee exposed Young as the one giving the order in the Confessions of John D. Lee, a biography of Lee. Have fun trying to find that. Okay? And again, nothing happened to Brigham Young. Nothing happened. Even though he testified he was part of it, nothing happened to him because of it. Pat?
There's a movie about it. It's called September Dawn.
September Dawn?
Yeah.
Cool.
It happened on September 11th.
Oh, wow.
It was a Christian in the intersection.
Wow. Hmm. Wow. September Dawn. Interesting. Never heard that. Thanks. 1852, Brigham Young publicly announces plural marriage as the official LDS, Latter-day Saints, policy. Yes.
John. So Lee was a bishop of the Mormon Church?
Yes, yes. Yeah, he was appointed as part of the leadership of the Mormon Church, definitely. Okay? Okay. Other presidents since Brigham Young. John Taylor, 1880-1887. Wilford Woodruff, 1889-1898. Lorenzo Snow, 1898-1901. Joseph Fielding Smith, 1901 to 1918. I wonder if he was a relative of Joseph. Probably was. Probably great-great-grandson or something like that. Okay. Heber J. Grant, 1918-1945. George Albert Smith. I was missing here. 1945 to 1951. David O. McKay, 1951 to 1970. I graduated in 1971. I remember hearing his name and people talking as they would go around the neighborhoods in their bikes and their short sleeve white shirts and their ties and stop us on the street while we were playing ball and talking about, you know, things. But a man who I really remember because he did a lot for the Mormon Church was Spencer Kimball, okay, 73 to 85. Ezra Taft Benson from 85 to 94. Howard Hunter, 1994 to 1995. He didn't make a very good dent. There's a lot of problems going on during these years. People caught sexual abuse and other things that are held secret and quiet, and a lot of the leadership has a lot of problems. And, of course, Gordon Hinckley was a man who a lot of this fell on, 1995 to 2008, and some of these things he was accused of covering up, child molesting and stuff like that, and it's caused a big stir, even to the point where the president or the person who's the head of the Mormon Church really isn't the head. There's a committee now and stuff, and then we'll talk about that as we go through. Things have changed in the leadership structure because of all the cover-ups and the lawsuits and the child abuse and stuff like that. And then, of course, the current president took over in 2008 and is still there today as of February the 16th, 2009. And some little bit of information about him, okay? Monson became the 16th president of the LDS Church on February 3rd, 2008, succeeding Gordon Hinckley, who had died 7 days earlier. Monson selected Henry B. Eyring and Dieter Yuckdorf as his first and second counselors, respectively. When Matzo was born, there were fewer than 650,000 members of the church in the world, with most of them being based in the western United States, Utah, Idaho. When he became president, there were over 13 million claimed members worldwide, with the majority of the membership living outside the United States and Canada. As of October 2008, Monson has announced 8 new temples being built. He and his counselors in the first presidency also met with President George Bush on May 29, 2008, during George Bush's visit to Salt Lake City. Okay? He was born August 21, 1927, so he is 81. He's very young. There's not a lot of young people in this organization as far as the hierarchy and structure. Okay? He was born in Salt Lake City, Utah. He resides in Salt Lake City, Utah. His education, BS in 1948, MBA 1974. I'm not sure what all these others are. Honorable DL. Can anybody tell me what that is? Doctor of Linguists? What? DL? Dr. Doolittle? No. And he has an honorary DHL. Okay, that must be the minor hockey league. Okay? I don't know what a DHL... Anybody know what a DHL is?
It's a fast truck.
Yeah, it's a fast truck, yes. It delivers things from all over the world. And an honorable DB. Okay, Doctor of Business, maybe, 2007. So he has a lot of education. His alma maters include University of Utah and Brigham Young University, better known as BYU. Okay. His spouse, Frances Beverly Johnson Monson, he has 3 children. And that's one of that's his wife, but again, there may be more that aren't being revealed. Okay. The website, if you find out, want to email him, it's thomasmonson.org. Okay, so want to ask him some personal questions, go for it. Here's his website. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's it. All right. Any questions about the other leadership or anything that you remember specifically about some of these other leaders that were there? Go ahead, Matt.
Are they competing with Solomon for the record?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're using him as an excuse, okay, to practice it. But the official outward news statement to everybody is we do not practice polygamy, but it's known that they practice polygamy, okay? You go out there in Idaho and Salt Lake City and some of those western states, going on to this day, okay? And every once in a while you hear about it, and there'll be a little sect of people that'll be raided, their ranch will be raided or something, and, you know, that happened a little while ago, several months ago now. It was in the news. And it's
Mormon.
Huh? I believe it was. Okay? I'm not sure exactly, but I believe it was. Michelle?
Are there skeletons in every religion, background and history, or are you finding it just with the cult?
I would say that a lot of, you know, there's always something, you know.
Could we look back on what we believe and see
that... Oh, you can find leaders that messed up big time, yes. Okay, but not to the degree of getting people to follow them like this, okay? You know, it's like, you know, you teach the Bible and people will adhere to what the truth is, okay? But these people are whack and God talked to only them, and you don't find that in the history of the Baptists or Anabaptists, you know, as you go back in church history. You know, some of you guys have taken church history many times, you know. Do you hear of anybody that was a leader like that, that talked that only God showed him what was right, or whatever the case may be? Go ahead, tell me.
What they did, they were, you know.
Yeah, right. Because, again, the Bible says this, you're saying this, the Bible's right, you're wrong, get out. So, that's why you have in church history, you have the Bible-believing line, and then you have the philosophy line and all the other heretical type, you know, people that came through, like Thomas Aquinas and all those other people who are basically making it up as they go, so to speak.
It goes back to
all the way to the apostles. Yeah. Yeah, you have the, you know, scribes, Pharisees, you know, Sadducees, and all those Herodians and all those other people were the same kind of thing. So it had the history of people taking leadership and determining that they're the great guru, and that's why Peter warned about lording over God's heritage, because it's a very easy thing to let it go to your head that you're the. I was listening today to Dobson. There's a guy, Tommy Nelson, I believe it is, who did all those series about the Song of Solomon and stuff like that. A really good preacher, a really good writer. But he's talking about how he got thinking that he had to do everything and started out at 6 o'clock in the morning. He had a class of Bible Institute students at 6 o'clock in the morning. He would teach from 6 to 7. Then he would go to this other place and teach another group. And every minute of the day he was teaching or running or writing a book or whatever, until finally one day he just collapsed and burned himself out and got in a bit of depression. Because, again, when you get to thinking you're the only one that can do it all, you got to do all the teaching and you got to run all the Bible studies and everything, you know, you haven't learned discipleship then, okay? And so that's the track. You get to be where you are the great Oz, and you have to be involved in everything and touch everything, and that's where leadership begins to corrupt their congregations, because, again, no one can have a piece of the pie. No one can do anything as good as you can, so you don't delegate to them and they can't. Some of you, if one of the staff, you know, drop dead tomorrow, there's people in this room that could take over where we are today. Gladly. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you could. Again, I don't hold the position I have, like, you know, smother it. I'm hoping to give it away to somebody someday, so if God calls me home, it can just keep on going the way it's going. So again, that's discipleship, and not a lot of people do that. Good question. Anyone else? Yes, John.
U.S. presidents, there's been a good handful of them that have been, like, if you do some study on them and some of the secret societies that they're involved in, Mormonism comes up.
Big time. Yep. Illuminati and stuff like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And along with Masonry, Freemasonry. Mormonism and Masonry are tied together very close. Okay? And you're going to see that as we uncover some of the things, like Brad will bring it up next week and talk about that. But Freemasonry goes, a lot of Mormons copied Freemasonry.
I saw somebody driving around in the priest the other day with the Mason license plate on there.
Yeah.
Is it a Mason member?
Yeah, they're, and they probably have the level that they're a part of. Okay? As part of their license plate, whatever level they are. And there's a lot of levels. There's some guys who I've known for years and go to this church and everything, and I didn't realize it, but they were into Freemasonry really big, and at the end, when they died, they brought in their little skirt that they give out, and it was like, whoa, I never knew this. And I was really close to this guy, and I never knew anything about it. So, and they touted it as it being a Christian kind of thing. But when you get into it, you'll see when we get into it, it's not really Christian. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. Secrets. Tell anybody. And when you get into things like that, it can really be a mess. Go ahead, Dave.
Mormons believe, like, in Christmas, celebrating birthdays, and, like, the oldest don't?
No, they do.
They do.
I believe they do. I have never formally seen one, but you go to the Marriott, it's all decked out in Christmas stuff and stuff like that, too. So I don't believe they're as strict on that as... I may be wrong, but I don't believe so. Okay.
Our neighbors were Mormon, and they celebrated at least Halloween and Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Birthdays. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I really believe that's only restricted to Jehovah's Witnesses. Let's take a break, and if you can get a sandwich, you're hungry now, you can do so, and then we'll come back in about 5 to 7 minutes and finish up. All right, let's talk about the organization of the church. Take your notes. I don't have a PowerPoint in this. I didn't have time to put it all on PowerPoint, but your notes are detailed enough. The organization of the church and how it's set up, it's divided into stakes, not prime ribs or anything like that, okay? Wards and independent branches. A stake is a group of churches in one general area comparable to dioceses in Catholicism, supervised by a president who is over 2 counselors and a stake high council. The average number of members in a stake is about 4,000. A ward is comparable to a local church each ward composed of blocks, presided over by a bishop with two teacher assistants. The average number of members in a ward is 600. And then, of course, an independent branch is a new church, not yet organized. Membership can run from 50 to 200 before they formally get organized. The chief officials of Mormonism, the president, he inherits same infallible prophetic authority as Joseph Smith when he's placed, and Brigham Young when he's placed in that position. Then there's the president's four counselors. We saw two of this current president's counselors. He didn't name any more, so I think that's because of the organizational restructure. I couldn't find a lot of information on that as I was looking through things. The Council of 12 Apostles, no, Mormonism has no professional clergy. Lay members are chosen as officers and receive no monetary compensation. Okay? So how do they live? The church pays for everything they want. They don't get a salary, but anything they want, the church takes care of. Okay? So again, they don't have a salary per se. Okay? That's why a lot of times they're in trouble with the government. Okay? Because it's, illegal. Okay? Membership of Mormons today, about 9.5 million members in 95, 10 million members in 97, 11 million members in 2000, 13,193,999 million members in 2007. So about 13 million members. The church reports a worldwide membership of 13 million with approximately 6.7 million residing outside the United States. So it's interesting. A little about, just about half don't even reside here in the U.S. Okay? According to these statistics, it's the fourth largest religious body in the United States. Only about 46% attend a church meeting once a month. 46%, that's it, attend a meeting at least once a month. Okay? The church is currently growing an average rate of about 1 million every 3 years, and that's going down from what I've recently found. Some information I didn't put in here yet, but it's going downward. Missionary activity of Mormons, they're having a hard time finding young people to do their missionary work. And that's where they're declining, because they're not reaching young people. Young people are questioning, what's this? What do we got to do? A lot of older people are still involved, but the youth are not involved, which tells us something. What does it tell us? All right, what do we need to do? Reach the young people. Okay? If it's all of us gathered, us old people, gathered together, and we don't do anything to reach our young people, because after all, they're so wild and out there, and they're uncontrollable, and you know, no one can reach them and no one can teach them, you better change, because your church is going to die, because we're going to die. Okay? I'm getting old. Okay? And so are you. All right? Missionary activity of Mormons. Most Mormon young people dedicate 2 years to missionary service. In 1994, there were about 47,311 missionaries on the field. In 2005, there were about 60,000 missionaries worldwide. And in 2007, the church marked the induction of its 1 millionth full-time missionary since 1830. So over the years, they've had 1 million Mormon missionaries, okay? But again, that's going down. Most pay their own expenses. The church distributes over 5 million copies of the Book of Mormon per year. There are approximately 800 converts per day and 300,000 converts per year to the Mormon church. Okay? Financial condition of Mormonism. Church collects at least $4.5 billion a year from its members. Okay? That's quite a hefty bit. Okay? No wonder they cut the spiritual people out of the bailout. Okay? Brigham Young didn't get anything. University. The financial income is in excess of $2 million per day. Generates at least $4 billion from its various business enterprises. Marriott, Pepsi, others. Okay. Yearly income from at least 100 companies controlled by the church is estimated as total revenues of $20 billion. The support of Mormon missionaries is about $500 million per year. Tithing is what? Mandatory for Mormons. So if you don't tithe,
how do they enforce that if you don't go to church?
They keep track of your giving.
But you like mail in your tithe or whatever?
Yes. Yep, if you don't go to church, you better make sure your tithe makes it and that it's recorded, or else you're dismembered. So literally, or hung, one of the two. Okay. Yes, at least 10%. They may teach more. Okay? Then the financial, we looked at that. Mormon temples in America, 64 temples as of late 1999. As of December 2nd, 2002, there were 114 temples worldwide and many new ones being built. Currently, there are 128 operating temples. There are 8 under construction, and 10 were announced that are not yet under construction. So there must be at least 65,000 members in an immediate area to qualify for a temple. Okay? Anybody been to a Mormon temple? Somebody was just telling me they were in a Mormon temple before it was dedicated.
Is that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day?
Yes.
Is that the temple?
LDS, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Not including some of the other breakoffs of Mormonism that also have temples, but the LDS, Latter-day Saints, have some gorgeous temples. One was built in Washington, D.C. It was, wow. The one in Toronto, when was that, Randy? The one in Toronto.
The 80s, early 90s.
Yep. What was it like?
It was beautiful as far as architecturally, it was a beautiful building. It was huge. But it was very strange inside. I mean, we had to wear paper footies and hatties and paper coats. Because you couldn't have any of your body, skin, or hair, or anything falling off.
Wasn't yet dedicated or blessed?
It wasn't blessed at the time we went in. It was still under construction or just finishing construction. And we could go in as long as we wore all our paper panties and footies and stuff. And then it was a guided tour, and they took men on one tour and women on another. And it was built in a round circle like a dome. And in the center was this giant marble baptismal bowl, like the size of an Olympic swimming pool, and it was like 2 or 3 stories tall, and then the round building around it had about 6 stories, and people would line around the balconies looking down as in the baptismal part, and then they had these giant marble oxes that were probably 4 or 5 stories tall drinking out of the bowl, and there was some significance to the ox. I don't know what it is, but it was very strange.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing
was anointed cherub.
Yeah, that's huge.
Anybody else visit a Mormon temple?
Yes,
both. Anybody? Anybody else visit a Mormon temple? If you get a chance to get in there before it's blessed, they'll let you in, but after that, you cannot get in. Okay? And so if there's ever one being built in the area, go see it. I don't know, is there a temple in Palmyra? Anybody know? I don't believe so. Not enough people. Okay? But again, they did build a building there, the same kind of thing. You can go in and visit, but once it was blessed, that was it. But it
I think temple. There's a replica of a temple that you can go
right.
Walk through it, the right. visitor area.
Right.
I drove by it a few times.
The branches from Mormonism... temples are required for Mormon marriages and for proxy baptisms of ancestors, baptism for the dead. It's not a place of worship, as some would assume. By the way, there's a lot of secret things that go on in the temple that are not, cannot know about. You will find out about it. We will show you some things that go on. But Mormons are sworn to secrecy. Among part of their secrecy is their Mormon underwear that they wear. And many of you have no idea that they do that, but they do wear Mormon underwear. Go ahead.
What do Mormons have to say about Jehovah's Witnesses?
I don't know. To be honest with you, they just probably consider them competition and a cult, too. Okay? So again, they'd have to deny what they believe, you know, because they wouldn't want to lose any members to them. But the Mormon underwear has been revised over the years. It was a one-piece union suit with a drop-back, you know, so you go to the bathroom and stuff like that. And then they've adjusted. You have to be in contact with your Mormon underwear at all times. It either has to be on you, or if you're, like, taking a shower, you have to take the Mormon underwear off, and you have to stand on that dirty one while you take a shower, and then you have to be in contact with the clean one, the new one, as you go step out of the shower and draft, but you have to be in constant contact with it. There's slits in different places in the Mormon underwear, and we'll learn some about that as we get into that. Again, it's very weird, okay? And not a lot of people, you'll ask a Mormon, you know, ask a missionary that's going around one of these kids, ask them if they got a Mormon underwear on, they'll turn redder than anything. You know? And they'll go, how do you know about it? Oh, I know a lot about your underwear. You just get the fuck out of it, man. So, and Joe?
I've been dealing with some Mormons.
Uh-huh.
The first contact was a student and a teacher.
Mm.
And I asked them about it. They don't. I know. I'm going to ask you this, and I don't know if I pronounced it right. And I called it more holy underwear. Well, they call it holy undergarment.
Right.
And you're right. She got real. How would you say it? She got quiet about it because
right.
the student goes, "What's that?"
Right.
The student wasn't even at that level yet.
Right.
Because I knew it. She had to talk a little about it.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't want to talk too much about it.
They don't.
And we talked, and I asked them. And it's to ward off evil spirits or something like that.
It's like the armor of God?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I go, so you're actually putting something before God. And wasn't that paganism? I go, you might as well wear a cross like the Catholics do, you know, for to drive your car and stuff. But, well, we don't look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yep, it's very real. Very true, and we're selling Baptist underwear now in the bookstore. It has holes all over it, so it's holy. Michael Jordan. Okay. There are five splinter groups from the original group, the largest being the reorganized LDS Church headquarters. For this group is in Independence, Missouri. I've been by that temple. That's huge. Okay, it has about 150,000 members. They broke off from the other Mormons when followers of Brigham Young moved to Salt Lake City. They repudiated his practice of polygamy, and so they stayed there in Independence and reorganized, and it's the reorganized Church of the Latter-day Saints, okay, RLDS, okay? So if you see that around, you'll know that they are the ones that don't adhere to polygamy, okay? Educational Institution of Mormonism, there's 250 seminaries in the United States. That was as of 2005. I'm not sure how many today. For junior and senior high students, Mormons flood the market with all kinds of propaganda literature. Mutual Improvement Association sponsors youth activities in their churches, mostly dances, but some dramatic productions to bring young people in. According to the church, maintains Brigham Young University. Brigham Young University in Idaho, this is as of 2009, formerly Ricks College, Brigham Young University Hawaii, and LDS Business College. Over 34,000 people currently are enrolled at Brigham Young University in Utah. Approximately 98% of the 34,000 students at BYU are Mormons. Okay, 2/3 of its American students come from outside the state of Utah. So 2/3 are outside the state of Utah. So it's a worldwide attraction. Especially in their sports. They give a lot of scholarships to kids in high school to get them to come to their university so they can suck them in, you know. It's like the old Star Trek where they salt people, you know. They put their hands on either side and suck you in, okay. Alright? Now some of the teachings on Mormonism and conduct, they're opposed to drinking liquor, using tobacco, or drinking coffee or tea. They practice fast offerings in which Mormons give up two meals on first Sunday of each month, then give the price of those meals to feed the poor. Mormons are very self-reliant and industrious. They have their own welfare program for needy persons in their churches. They assist each other in building homes and providing loans. They emphasize family life, provide activities for youth. Mormonism has a very low juvenile delinquency rate because they're indoctrinated all the time, going to Mormon schools and Mormon classes. You know, it's like what years ago when I was a Roman Catholic, we used to go to Catholic religious classes. We used to get out of school. They'd bus us to go to our church to learn Catholic classes, and we'd sit in their religious instruction classes and learn about the Catholic catechism and all those kind of things. And, of course, you couldn't ever do that today because separation of church and state. But They do have Hebrew school, big time, yes, they still do that, big time.
I went home Saturday.
And Saturdays, yeah, Saturday mornings, I did too.
Catechism.
Yeah, when the buses quit bringing us during the week and we could get out of school early, then we had to go to Saturday classes, yeah, they're right. But again, this is a part of their school day in Salt Lake City and in Colorado and in Idaho. It's part of the school system because a lot of Mormonism is in the schools, okay? On source of authority, according to The Pearl of Great Price, which is a book written by Joseph Smith, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is correctly translated. We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the... Right? Warning, Will Robinson. What's this warning? Why is this a warning to us?
Adding to the Scriptures.
Adding to the Scriptures. There's now two authorities instead of one. So which one's right? According to them, both are right. And they don't contradict. You know why they don't contradict? Because about 80-90% of the Book of Mormon is the King James Bible twisted around a little bit. Okay? That's why they really don't, but they do contradict. And we'll show you some of the contradictions to show them later on. In reality, Mormons consider the Book of Mormon to be superior to the Bible. There are said to be errors in translations of the Bible, but no such errors are said to exist in the Book of Mormon, obviously. However, scholars agree that there have been more than 3,000 changes made in the text of the Book of Mormon since its original publication. Talk about don't add or subtract. No manuscript copies of the Golden Plates have been preserved to verify the accuracy of the translation of the Book of Mormon. Oops, we lost it.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite is true of the Bible. Of course, Joseph Smith claimed that the Golden Plates were taken back by the angel.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder where the plates went.
Okay?
The angel Baloney took them, okay? In Mormon 9:34, we read, "The Lord knoweth that none other people knoweth our language. Therefore, how could Professor Charles Anton know that the translation of the Reformed Egyptian language would be correct? In the 6th century B.C., the most commonly used writing materials in Palestine were papyrus and leather, not metal plates that had the things stamped into them." Okay? The concept of the Book of Mormon. Mormons recognize 3 books beside the Bible as the Word of God. The Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants by Joseph Smith, and The Pearl of Great Price by Joseph Smith. Anybody own copies of those other two? Anybody have copies of those? I had them, but they're gone. I don't know if someone took them. Maybe the angel Moroni went through my books. I'm not sure.
They were raptured.
Someone borrowed them. They put them out. Even my cover of the Book of Mormon is breaking off. It's so hard, and it's like brittle, okay? So even that broke off, so you can't see the angel's face anymore. It's gone, okay?
Below
that. Below
that. The statue comes down in Palmyra.
Yeah, exactly.
From the rock.
Yep.
Made out of gold or
This is the temple in Idaho Falls that my wife visited. You can see how ornate and beautiful it is. It's huge. Okay, she got a chance to tour it because it wasn't dedicated the time she was there. And she got a chance to go in there. And she actually... after that, they allow you to see people who are being baptized for the dead or entering. And she said there was a steady stream of people entering the temple to go and be baptized for the dead. It was remarkable in Idaho Falls. Okay, the Book of Mormon's collection of 15 books covering history from 2200 B.C. to 421 A.D. Okay? It's an account of 2 great waves of immigration to the Americas by several lost tribes of
Israel.
Oh, really? The first immigration was the tribe of Jared. Jared's mentioned in Genesis 5, verses 15 through 20. Mormons believe that when the Lord confounded the languages at the Tower of Babel, the family of Jared was not confounded. Jared's brother was told by the Lord to build 8 barges to cross the ocean. The Jaredites sailed across the Pacific Ocean and landed in South America about 2000 B.C. Here they built a great civilization. However, corruption in government and daily living eventually led to the destruction of this family. A great civil war was fought among the Jaredites. 2 million were slain. This would be impossible for Jaredites to multiply that rapidly if you did the math. Okay? The only 2 warriors were left alive. Finally, only the prophet Ether, because he took a lot of ether and left alive. And Ether recorded the history of the Jaredites on 24 golden plates. And here we go again. Now we got metal that we're stamping things on again. The family of Lehi was next to come to America. Lehi was a Jewish prophet who lived in Jerusalem about 600 B.C. Nephi, a son of Lehi, received a revelation to build a ship. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Build a ship. Okay. And the family of Lehi sailed to South America. Laman and Lemuel, 2 other sons of Lehi, were continually in rebellion against the Lord, sons of Cain and Abel. Therefore, the Lord cursed the Lamanites, and their skin turned dark. So long as we, the American Indians, are descendants of Laman, a Jew. All anthropologists agree, however, that Indians are from the Mongoloid race. So they're not from what they say Jewish race, they're from Mongoloid race. Mormons claim that Christ visited the American continent, preached the gospel to Nephi and his family, instituted baptism, communion, and the priesthood. Nephi wrote two sets of plates about the history of the family of Lehi. Laban, the descendant of Joseph, recorded the plates from the origin of man, Jeremiah. A great battle occurred in 385 AD between the Nephites and the Lamanites. The Lamanites killed all the Nephites except one. His name was
Moroni,
whose father had been Mormon. Mormon was a Nephite general who abridged the plates of Nephi and wrote several plates himself. Moroni added more plates later and buried them in 421 AD in Hill Cabora.
How do they explain the flood? Because Jared, before the flood, there weren't boats. Wouldn't they have all been destroyed?
Yes, they would have been destroyed. That's why they can't prove anything. There's nothing to prove any of this.
So the flood works in their favor?
Yeah, maybe. Because there's no proof, maybe. Yes. Archaeological evidence against the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon claims to portray the development of two great civilizations, yet archaeologists have not been able to find not one shred of evidence that these ancient civilizations ever existed in America. Textual evidence against the Book of Mormon. Joseph Smith used 25,000 words that are identical to the King James Version, which indicates that he was an unashamed plagiarist. Smith even copied the mistranslations of the King James Version, whichever they are. Many scholars believe that the Book of Mormon to be an expansion of the writings of one of Solomon Spaulding, a retired minister who wrote a number of romances with biblical backgrounds almost identical to the Book of Mormon. He's a copyist, he's a plagiarist. Biblical condemnation of the Book of Mormon. Somebody look this up, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Someone look up Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. And then someone look up Luke 16, verse 31. Who's got Revelation 22, 18 and 19? Go ahead, Jeremy.
For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book.
So there's this, and then we add this. God says don't add or subtract from this. Okay, three times. Beginning, Exodus. Middle, Proverbs. Revelation, God says don't mess with this book. Now we have another book. So in this one is claiming to be more powerful than this one. Okay? So again, God says no. So what's it say in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2?
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in past times unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world.
Yep. So God spoke through his Son. Now we have it in word form, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word, God's Word, is equal to Jesus Christ and God the Father, as he communicates to us. Luke 16:31. Who's got it? Anybody? Luke 16:31.
And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Okay, and again, Moses and the prophets. We have to note that Jared, Lehi, Laman, Lemuel, and Ether are mentioned in the Bible. However, Nephi, Mormon, Moroni are not mentioned in the Bible. So they aren't any prophets or any significance in God's Word. So again, why are they mentioned as authorities? On the founder of Mormonism, the prediction of the coming of Joseph Smith in 2 Nephi 3, verses 1 through 24 of the Book of Mormon. The prophecy of the root of Jesse in Isaiah 11:10 is said to refer to the coming of Joseph Smith, that Joseph Smith is coming back. Therefore, we must conclude that Mormons place Joseph Smith on an equal plane with Jesus Christ. Okay. However, see Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 10 for a judgment upon such a prophet. And again, we don't have to look, but it says if you prophesy and you miss it at once, you are condemned. On the doctrine of God, there's a plurality of gods in the Trinity based on the separation of three. Persons in translation of Elohim of Genesis 1:1, Deuteronomy 6:4 destroys the polytheistic interpretation of the Trinity. There is in addition an infinite number of holy personages who have passed from life on earth to become gods, the Mormons teach. Exodus 23 destroys the divinity of man. The Father has a body of flesh and bones, as tangible as man's, and does the Son. But the Holy Spirit is the only Spirit. John 4:22-24 destroys the view that God now has a body of flesh. So don't believe that God has a body of flesh. So that tells us what, class? What's that a warning about? Jesus Christ is not God, and God is not Jesus Christ. Okay? God was once as we are now, and at one time lived on the earth as an ordinary man. Now God is an exalted man who has arrived at the highest stage of spiritual development. Proverbs 8:22-26 establishes that God was in his full glory before the earth was even formed. So we know that they're teaching that God was a man and on the earth, and that he was an exalted man is false. Okay? Sex distinction applies to God, which means that God is the father of many children in heaven. And since we have a father who is our God, we must also have a mother who possesses godhood also. Also, our father had a father, and so on. So the first man, Adam, came into the Garden of Eden with a celestial body and brought Eve, one of his wives of heaven, with him. Before coming to the earth as Adam, he was Michael the Archangel. Adam is not to be confused with God the Father, however. He's Michael the Archangel. Yes.
So what is their creation story?
Their creation story is that God, so to speak, and that's what we're going to cover next, okay, in the next part of this. So again, God was a person who had a wife and produced spirit babies or spirit people in heaven, which came down. So Michael the Archangel was Adam, because before he was a spirit being in heaven, and now he was made to come to the earth in the form of Adam, so really he's Michael the Archangel in the spirit. Therefore, Jesus and Satan, they teach our brothers, because they were part of the same Father God with Eve creating spirit bodies in heaven, and so Michael and Lucifer were brothers in heaven before they came to the earth. Okay? And it's wild, and we'll get into that a little bit more, but you'll see. On the doctrine of creation, in the beginning, the head of the gods called a council of the gods, plural, and they concocted a plan to create the world and people it. To create actually means to organize. Don't you love how they, you know, just define things, you know, they switch it? It is utterly false to believe that the world was created out of nothing, but read Hebrews 11:3 to see that the world was created from nothing. Christ was aided in the creation of the earth by many noble and great spirit children of the Father. Michael, the archangel, or Adam, was one of these. Enoch was another spirit child. Noah, Abraham, Moses, Peter, James, John, Joseph Smith. How do you get that? And all others played a part in creation. But we know from John 1:3 that, you know, the Word created it, okay? And so again, what we're going to learn later as it gets into detail of this is these spirit gods were created and they came to the earth in the form of these people. Sean?
So God was first a man and then became God.
Right.
And then had spirit babies and then created
with
man.
Eve, right.
And then he created man.
And they were spirit, those spirit children were like Michael the Archangel. And
who
they came to
Adam,
earth,
right.
Who became Adam.
Who was the first man, right?
Right, supposedly.
How was God a man before he created man?
That's what they teach.
Okay.
There is no explanation. He was a man.
I'm not missing anything.
No, he was a man. And they teach that Adam was the first. But he was a spiritual person first, and Michael the Archangel, and then came to earth as a man. Thus, was the same with Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Peter, James, and Joseph Smith.
I see all that. I just want to understand how God could be a man before he created.
That's what they're teaching.
Okay.
We know that God always was, He was the beginning and the end, so he never had a being. He was always a spiritual being in heaven. God is a spirit. They worship him, must worship him in spirit and truth. When God became a man, who did he become?
Jesus Christ.
Okay? He manifests himself in the flesh through Jesus Christ.
Don't they believe that they need to have as many children as possible
yes.
to bring their spirit
back yes.
down to heaven?
That's why they are producing or maintaining that polygamy is of God, because you can have as many children as you can to release the spirit babies to have a fleshly body on the earth. Okay? You're not buying this, huh? Sean? Good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good. Joe?
They all believe that eventually they're going to be equal to God.
Right. Right. They will believe they will be equal to God. Yes. Rich?
Now, Jesus is Michael, or Adam is Michael. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the brother of Lucifer, but Michael is also Jesus, right?
I don't know. I have to.
Lucifer was from the.
So Jehovah Witness, you get your thinking
yeah,
getting Jehovah Witnesses connection too much.
In this one, Michael and Adam are the same.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And in the other one, Jesus
right.
and Michael are the same.
Right.
Who is Adam over in the?
Who's on earth?
He's the guy that's walking around this garden. I don't.
He's the fruit.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Did he have a belly button? No. Now you see how they have to twist everything to make what they believe to be real to follow the lie. It doesn't make sense. But again, the average person who doesn't know their Bible, they go bah, and fall right into it. Go ahead, brother.
The Book of Mormon. Does it have an Old Testament and a New Testament?
No, not really. It's all like...
So Paul, they don't mention Paul or at all as far as a prophet or...
I've never read it, to be honest with you. I have a hard enough time finding time to read my own Bible. Yes, it's talking about the ancient civilizations. It's chronological before the New Testament, yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But again, a lot of it is taken from the Bible, anyways.
Jehovah's Witnesses seem pretty normal now.
Yes, exactly.
we don't think of the Mormons as being
whacked
radical.
Right. Right. But they are. They've been drinking too much sake or something. They're smoking too many peace pipes with all the tribes. Matt?
In the history section on page 7 in B, when you're going through that, it said, therefore the Lord cursed the Lamanites when their skin turned dark.
Yes.
Is that how they view people of different color? I mean, like how they see the different races within that thing?
That's part of the everything coming over. So again, they believe it's like a curse, so to speak. For a long time, I'm pretty sure it was Mormons that didn't have black people in the church for a while. And
they couldn't hold high rank.
Right, they couldn't hold high rank because of this. Okay, same thing with Indian people. Okay.
Are they prejudiced? I mean, do they show any kind of prejudice?
They did.
But now,
again, they can't hold a high rank in the church. They can attend and give their tithes. You know, they're good enough to be able to do that,
mm-hmm.
but they can't hold a high rank from what I understand. Okay, Alex.
Did they even attempt to go back to the day, okay, God was a man, God had a father, how far back that goes, is he not going back to that? Or did they not even attempt to?
Don't begin. He always was and always will. Again, they take a little bit of here and a little bit of there, and they mind meld it together, and you're supposed to just blindly believe this. Because he got it from Angel Moroni. Okay. On the doctrine of man. Before men inhabited the earth, they existed as spirits. Here we go. Ready? A divine mother and father were involved in this birth of new spirits. Each god in heaven has his own wife or wives, which were given to him previously in his life on earth. So he became a god by being on the earth, following the Mormon. When he dies, he becomes a god, and God gives him a wife. Sounds like the Muslims who believe that if you kill somebody, you get all these virgin women, okay? What do the poor women who blow themselves up get? Okay. Not much. A bad body, okay? All people are the sons and daughters of deity. But we read in John 8:44 that we're of your father who? The devil, okay? And he's a liar. In Romans 3:23, it tells us we're all sinners. So in teaching that men were pre-existent spirits before birth, Mormons admit that all men experience an incarnation as Jesus Christ. So the spirit becomes flesh, like Jesus Christ. Incarnate or carnate means fleshly. So when we talk about the incarnation, it's where God manifests himself in the flesh. So Christ was incarnate in the flesh, God in the flesh. To receive the fullness of deity, a man must have a wife and a woman, a husband, and marriage must take place in a Mormon temple. Mormons who marry non-Mormons, or as Mormons call us, Gentiles, are publicly shunned by the Mormon Church. Mormons believe that Jesus must have had many wives during his earthly ministry to make it possible for him to be God. That's blasphemy. Okay? If two Mormons are married in a temple, this marriage is for eternity, and they will become gods, which will procreate spirit children. How long?
Forever.
Forever. This marriage in the temple is called a celestial marriage. Okay? And in the book I Visited the Temple by John L. Smith, who is another great author who became a missionary, a Baptist missionary. I believe he's in heaven now, but John Smith was a great authority against Mormonism. For a description of the elaborate mystical and pagan ritual of the celestial marriage that a Mormon couple must participate in secretly in order for them to receive a divine blessing upon the marriage. It's a very secret thing. Very weird. Okay? Very sexually deviant, too. If a Mormon is not married in the temple, he will not become a god in heaven. He will have no spirit children. He will be only an angel, not a god. And angels are made a little lower than God, apparently. Okay? A man's heavenly glory is determined by how many wives he took while on earth. Women who do not marry cannot attain immortality. Note, polygamy is no longer taught by Mormons, probably because the U.S. government threatened to confiscate all Mormon property if polygamy did not cease. However, Mormons still believe that polygamy is acceptable even if they don't practice it. Okay? And again, it goes into talking about polygamy. Okay? We're going to stop there. Okay. Any questions? Go ahead, Mommy.
Do you get married each time in the temple, or just your first wife? Your
all wives. You have to have in the temple marriage. But again, they don't believe in polygamy. So, backdoor temple entrance. Yeah. Huh? Again, Moroni was part of being a spirit child. Okay, Michelle?
If you're not worshiping in the temple and you're just getting married and getting baptized, then where are you doing your study?
In different homes, in different wards, they have ward meetings, and in the different local places. Right. Because they have ward studies where they bring up Mormon doctrine and teach their people and send out missionaries from those kind of local things and organize those presidencies and presiding places. Yes?
When the man, however many times he gets married, does his other wives come with him when he gets married? Is it like in the ceremony, or are they not allowed to because he's not really married?
The government knows nothing. It sees nothing. It hears nothing. They're not allowed in. So.
Why does the government care?
Huh?
I mean, we put up with homosexuality and abortion, but also the fact can have two wives. Truthfully, why does the government
not about
care?
Two.
It's
about 50. Yeah, it's a ranking system with the wives, too, by the way. Yes, you're right. We're going to learn a lot more next week. Come, don't miss next week's class, okay? Let's pray and be dismissed, okay? don't become a Mormon between now and next week, okay? So we reveal the rest of the truth. Father, thank you today for the opportunity we have to look at this. Lord, because we know the truth, we know a counterfeit, and Lord, this is full of controversy and counterfeit. But Lord, there's a lot of people who are sucked into this from the very beginning when they were born as children, Lord, and they've been raised in this and they've been indoctrinated and they're very attached. And so, Lord, we pray that you would set them free with the truth of the gospel. Lord, help us maybe to learn enough that we might be able to help them to see the truth of your word. Lord, we know Satan is a liar and he's the father of all lies, and he is just selling this lie to these people in the form of truth. Lord, we must declare truth. Lord, we must know truth in order to defend for it. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to teach this class. Bless now. Dismiss us with blessings as we go. We're thankful for Julian and Sherry providing food for us tonight. Lord, thank you for them. And just thank you for the opportunity we have to learn. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
I hope you're enjoying this class.
Right.